as an analogy. Enough is enough. Nis, she called. The screen on the far right came alight. An abstract pattern of sparkling motes erupted into a sharply limited zone just above. As you know, Gillian Baskin, it is preferable that the library not know of my existence aboard this ship. I have taken the liberty of screening it so that it cannot observe our conversation. You wish to ask me something?
I certainly do. Were you listening to that report just now?
I listen to everything this ship's micro-branch does. It is my primary function here. Didn't Thomas Orley ever explain that to you?
Gillian restrained herself. Her foot was too close to the offending screen. She put it on the floor to remove temptation.
Nis, she asked evenly, why does the micro-branch library talk gibberish? The Timbrimy machine sighed anthropomorphically. Dr. Baskin, virtually every oxygen-breathing race but mankind has been weaned on a semantic which evolved down scores of patron-client links, all influenced by the library. The languages of Earth are strange and chaotic by galactic standards. The problems of converting galactic archives into your unconventional syntax are enormous.
I know that. The ETs wanted us to all learn Galactic 7 at the time of contact. We told them to take the idea and stick it.
Graphically put, instead, humanity applied immense resources to convert Earth's branch library to use colloquial Anglic, hiring Compton, Timbrimy, and others as consultants. But still there are problems. Are there not?
Gillian rubbed her eyes. This was getting nowhere. Why did Tom imagine this sarcastic machine was useful? Whenever she wanted a simple answer, it only asked questions.
The language problem has been their excuse for 2 centuries, she said. How much longer will they use it? Since contact, we've been studying language as it hasn't been studied in millions of years. We've tackled the intricacies of wolfling tongues like Anglic, English, Japanese, and taught dolphins and chimps to speak. We've even made some progress communicating with those strange creatures, the Solarians of Earth's sun. Yet the Library Institute still tells us it's our language that's at fault for all of these lousy correlations, these clumsily translated records. Hell, Tom and I can each speak 4 or 5 galactic tongues. It's not the language difference that's the trouble. There's something queer about the data we've been given.
The Nis hummed silently for a time. The sparkling motes coalesced and separated like 2 immiscible fluids merging and falling apart into droplets.
Dr. Baskin, haven't you just described the major reason for ships such as this one, which roam space hunting discrepancies in the library's records? And the very purpose of my existence, to catch the library in a lie, to find out if powerful patron races, as you would say, stack the deck against younger sophants such as Men and Timbrimy?
Then why don't you help me?
Gillian's heart raced. She gripped the edge of the desk and realized that frustration was close to overcoming her.
Why am I so fascinated with the human way of looking at things, Dr. Baskin?
The Nis asked.
Its voice turned almost sympathetic. My Timbrimy masters are unusually crafty. Their adaptability keeps them alive in a dangerous galaxy. Yet they too are trapped in the galactic mode of thinking. You Earthlings, from a fresh perspective, may see what they do not. The range of behaviors and beliefs among oxygen breathers is vast, yet the experience of man is virtually unique. Carefully uplifted client races never suffer through the errors made by your pre-contact human nations. These errors have made you different.
That was true enough, Gillian knew. blatant idiocies had been tried by early men and women, foolishness that would never have been considered by species aware of the laws of nature. Desperate superstitions had bred during the savage centuries. Styles of government, intrigues, philosophies were tested with abandon. It was almost as if orphan Earth had been a planetary laboratory upon which a series of senseless and bizarre experiments were tried. Illogical and shameful as they seemed in retrospect, those experiences enriched modern man. Few races had made so many mistakes in so short a time, or tried so many tentative solutions to hopeless problems. Earthling artists were sought out by many jaded ETs and paid well to spin tales no galactic would imagine. The Timbrimi particularly liked human fantasy novels with lots of dragons, ogres, and magic. The more the better. They thought them terrifyingly grotesque and vivid.
"I am not discouraged when you grow frustrated with the library," the Nis said. "I am glad. I learn from your frustration. You question things that all galactic society takes for granted. Only secondarily am I here to help you, Mrs. Orley. Primarily I am here to observe how you suffer."
Jillian blinked. The machine's use of an ancient honorific had to have a purpose, as did its blatant attempt to make her angry. She sat still amid a flux of conflicting emotions.
"This is getting nowhere," she spat, "and it's making me crazy. I feel all cooped up."
The Nis sparkled without commenting. Jillian watched the motes spin and dance.
"You're suggesting we let it sit for a while, aren't you?"
she said at last.
"Both Timbrimi and humans possess preconscious selves. Perhaps we should both let matters lie in the dark for a time, and let our hidden parts mull things over."
Jillian nodded.
"I'm going to ask Krydike to send me to Hikahi's island. The Abos are important. After escape itself, I guess they're the most important thing."
"A normal moral view from the galactic standpoint, and therefore of little interest to me."
The Nis sounded bored already. The dazzling display coalesced into dark patterns of spinning lines. They whirled and converged, fell together into a tiny point, and disappeared. Jillian imagined she heard a faint pop as the Nis departed. When she reached Krydike on the comm line, the captain blinked at her.
"Jillian, is your psi working overtime? I was just calling you."
She sat up.
"Have you heard from Tom?"
"Yes, he's fine. He's asked me to send you on an errand. Can you come down here right away?"
"I'm on my way, Krydike."
She locked the door to her lab and hurried toward the bridge. Chapter 24 Galactics. Bay Chohuan could only rumble in amazement at the magnitude of the battle. How had the fanatics managed to gather such strength in so short a time? Bay's little Cynthian scout ship cruised down the ancient rocky jet stream left by a long-dead comet. The Kestemony system was ablaze with bright flashes. Her screens showed the battle fleets as they merged into swirling knots all around her, scratching and killing and separating again. Alliances formed and dissolved whenever the parties seemed to sense an advantage. In violation of the codes of the Institute for Civilized Warfare, no quarter was being given. Bay was an experienced spy for the Cynthian Enclave, but she had never seen anything like this.
"I was an observer at Paklatuthal when the clients of the J-81-Ek broke their indenture on the battlefield. I saw the Obeyer Alliance meet the abdicators in ritual war, but never have I seen such mindless slaughter. Have they no pride? no appreciation of the art of war?